Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for April 27th, 2025. I almost forgot what year it was. How is that possible? Don't know. So, Allison, are you ready to go?
Sure, let's do
I got your
it.
question from last week.
Yay.
Yeah. Hi, Angela. Okay, let's see. Let me close this up. Okay, so Allison is a cash flow cat, and her side biz is a self-tape reader and coach for actors. And you coach through We Audition, but you also have private clients. And you wrote that you want to refine the way you talk about what makes you special and what you bring to the table, what problems you solve, who's your ideal client. And you sent in this blurb that you have on We Audition, and you're like, it works fine over there, but maybe I want a little bit more if I'm talking to like private clients and stuff. So let me just read what you wrote. My goal is to always help you feel confident and respected in your own unique artistry. And I'm as obsessed as you are with getting a tape that you will feel amazing about. If you like feedback, I have an eye for detail and an encouraging coaching style. If you'd rather do your own thing without my input, I'm equally thrilled to just be a supportive scene partner. I will follow your lead, and I'm always game for whatever notes you have for me as your reader. It's good. Very nice. Feels very like you're just talking to them, approachable, unintimidating. And so, how do you feel that has served you well and you've got clients from that, and have you gotten clients that you've liked from that?
I think that on We Audition, it served me really well. I think it, like, just looking at the profiles on that site, I like the way that it, like, compares to other profiles. I think that it does, like, accurately portray, what I'm doing. I also, though, have other thoughts about kind of what my, like, superpowers are as a
Yeah.
reader and a coach that I don't know. Like, maybe there is a way to work them into that bio, but I don't even know if I need to. I just know that I want to develop the way that I talk about them for sure. For, like, right now, basically, yes, I have gotten clients through that website and I've gotten regular clients who I now work with just privately. Several of whom I are fantastic. But I guess I just what I have written there, I like, and I like it for We Audition, but there is more, and I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of things to say about, what I think makes a good reader and I think what makes me good. But when I start to try to write them down, I find that I just sort of go off in all these different directions. And I know you're amazing at sort of zeroing in on what's important. So I thought maybe I have some notes here for, some of the
Perfect.
things that I some of those things. But anyway,
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about you and your superpowers and how you are as a reader and
Yes. Well, okay. So here, I really feel that being a reader it's a related skill to being an actor, but it's a different skill. Not all good actors are good readers. And it's really, really hard to find really good readers. And I feel, I think it's okay for me to say this in this space, but I know about myself that I am a fantastic reader. And I also know that I am a good coach, and I am good at really picking out, like, details and giving people an edge to what they already have cooking. So I think, okay, that's one set of things. I guess let me finish that thought, I guess, before I go on to a couple others. Is that the people who I really like working with the most tends to be people who know what they're doing. I can work with beginners, but where I really thrive is people who, a lot of the time they are represented, a lot of the time they are going out regularly, but even if they're not, they know what they're doing. They have a solid foundation and they are good actors. I have had a lot of success working with people like that who are going out a lot. I can really help them hone what's already good about their auditions, but just sharpen it and just be an outside eye that really can see, oh, here's how you need to shape this to make it click. So that's one thing. I also know, I don't really like personally in my own audition practice, I have a hard time working with readers. I really do because I have high standards and I like to work with my fiance because he really understands me. And part of that is that, what I think something that I bring to being a reader is I know that working with a reader can be really vulnerable. You need to feel like it's safe to be bad or even just mediocre, in order to do your best work. Like, if you don't feel like you can work with someone and just do a few takes that are like just okay, then you're not going to be able to get to the point where you can actually be great. And actually, I think one of the best compliments I ever got from one of my regular clients was, "Oh, Allie, I just feel so comfortable to be my worst actor self with you." And I was like, "That is so good. You have to let me use that as a testimonial at some point." But I don't know, I don't know how that I don't know how that fits into copy. Like, I don't know if people are gonna like to read that, but I think that's important. You need someone who can really quickly pick up on the genre, the style, who can give you emotion quickly, and those are things that I excel at. I think I yeah, just to wrap up, those kind of people who are really in the trenches of their career and are doing good work are the people who I enjoy working with the most. And I think those are the people who tend to like form relationships with me. People who want a relationship with someone they can trust, develop really, yeah, like a relationship, so that they feel comfortable coming back and working through all the different things that they have to do in this career, that like really lets you share your own uniqueness and vulnerability. Yeah, I think that's more or less what I wanted to say.
Okay. Well
Okay,
said. Well said. That wasn't all over the place. That was pretty
good.
well said. So then I think the only thing now is this something you're looking to put on a website, like your own website, or is this just something you want to have in your back pocket so when you're talking about what you bring to the table?
I think the latter. I mean, I certainly I think would be something I would put on a website, but I'm not like right now in the process of building a website. I just, like maybe how I would talk about it like on social media or, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that I would want like if I were to make a website, yeah, this is the kind of thing I would want to put on it, I would hope. But
So
the
I
I guess the
love.
other thing, can I say one more thing, is
Oh,
that
yeah.
I think the thing I struggle with is that a lot of these things, I don't know that they're necessarily like they sound like they're kind of common. They're like easy. Of course, you want a reader who can easily pick up on style and tone. And it's very easy for people who can't do that to say that they can do that. So that's just sort of where you know what I mean? Like I look at the other profiles on We Audition and you see people say all kinds of things and then you work with them and you're like,
Yeah. So this is really, and what I love about what you said is it's really about educating people. People don't know anything about what they should even look for in a reader. I think most actors would just be like, well, someone who can like get all the words out and not mess around with what I'm doing and isn't trying to show off. Like, but that's
That's
not
not
it.
wrong.
And people start to trust you when you can start to educate them and give them a whole other perspective of like, oh my God, I never even thought about that. Like, she's totally, that makes such perfect sense. Now I would know how to find a good reader. So that's something on social media And you'll see a lot of this is a common tactic in marketing. It's a good one where it's like plumbers will be like, here's the 10 things to look for when to get yourself a good plumber. And boom. And if someone who knows all 10 things are likely going to be able to do all 10 things. So I think that this is great as a talking point just to pull out of your back pocket, but also little posts on social media. And by the way, you can recycle all that stuff. You can post it and then post it all again, just even in slightly different
Yeah,
ways or whatever.
right. Yeah.
But you could have a whole little series. And so if I'm talking to somebody, and it came up that, oh yeah, I'm a reader. And they're like, oh, really, 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 I'm, looking for something like what. What I would say is something along the lines of, the biggest misconception and the biggest mistake actors make that really, now, we want to draw all of this back to people's audition tapes. That is the only thing they're interested in. They are not interested in hiring a reader. They're interested in booking the job. And to book the job, they need a really great audition tape. So you want to frame all of this of like, the damage that can be done to an audition because of a weakness in the reader. Because I think most actors think it actually doesn't even matter. They could like get their mom to do it. And I'm not talking about in a pinch. I'm talking about all the time. You can use your mom in a pinch, but like, so yeah, a lot of people think they can just get whomever. Their mom to be their reader. Not all actors do that. Some actors are like, well, of course, I'm going to get another actor, but not all actors are good readers. Oh, now you have my attention. What do you mean? Well, there's three main things that a reader really can do to add to the quality and make your audition really shine. That's a good word. Oh, okay. Oh, what are the three things? And I say three just because it'll be easier for you to remember three and for them to maybe remember three. And then you're not talking all night about the 12 things. And so one of them is that a lot of actors go from reader to reader to reader to reader, like whoever is available. But really, if you develop a relationship with your reader, now you have someone who understands you, who understands your quirks, but also your crutches that you lean on maybe too often. They understand, like, and you can talk about the things when you have a relationship with an actor, you know when they walk through the door, oh, are they having a bad day? Are they having a good, like, you can sense what might need to be supported in that moment. But that's only you only establish that from working with someone over a period of time. And the actors who have a reader or two on their bench and use those people all the time, they get things done faster, but also they feel more fully supported because it's a safer space. They feel like they can be vulnerable. One of my clients put it perfectly. She's like, oh my God, I feel like I can blah, 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 blah. So it's like, so that's one mistake actors make is they think, oh, I can just use anybody and they just bop around instead of creating a relationship and actually having this person on your team. And then you can talk about why that relationship is important. The second misconception or mistake is that they have someone who can read, but they don't have someone who can coach. And if you don't have a reader who is good at coaching, you're just missing out on a final opportunity to shape and sharpen your work. You can do a lot self-directing yourself. But there's another layer that can happen when you have someone with the skills and who doesn't just know how to coach, but who has the emotional intelligence to understand how to coach you. Okay. So, and then the third thing is someone who can do all of this quickly. You want to get in, you want to get out. You don't want to be on take 47 because you're paying for it, but also now you're just being worn out and discombobulated or you're tired. If you come in and you have whatever's going on with your day and you have gas in the tank for two takes and you have a relationship with a reader who can coach and knows how to coach you and can get this done quickly, then you are going to, one of those takes is going to work. And that's what actors miss out on, those three things, when they just go by the assumption, well, anybody who can act can read. And so I'll just get anybody who's available.
Can I ask sort of a probing question about that last point, the last of the three? Is that so? I think efficiency is a big thing, and I certainly do think you're much more efficient when you're, I know I am, when I'm working with someone who I trust and work well with. But I often find that people actually don't spend enough time on their tapes. And the sessions that I like to do the most, we're not, I mean, sometimes we are spending like a couple hours, but yeah, like I and those are the clients who I like the most too, is who are really ready to dig in. And my rate isn't the rate that like that a lot of coaches, I don't have a super high rate yet that a lot of coaches do. So you can afford to use me for like an hour or two and get that level of coaching that
Okay,
you
then that's
might
how
be
you should
able to.
frame. That's a different way to frame the same thing. And this is good for everybody. So there's, you could frame time in terms of quickness and turnaround, but you can also frame time in terms of you really want a reader who knows how to make the most of the time. You don't want to be spending time on the reader's stuff. You want the time to play around and experiment and try things and do. This should be your time. And someone who has the analysis, the, you know, who can quickly analyze and can understand the things you said, genre, blah, 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 and wrap their head around the material quickly so that you then have the time to play. You don't even talk about cost. So there are people who would want efficiency. And you can say, you know, I have two different kinds of clients. I have clients who prioritize efficiency because they are working a lot or they're doing a lot and they don't actually have a lot of time for auditions. They come in prepared, but then they want us to shape and sharpen things quickly. And I can totally do that. Then I have another set of clients that really want space. A safe space to explore and do multiple takes. But it's important for those clients that the reader isn't taking up their time figuring things out, figuring out. They need a reader who has an analytical mind and is able to articulate things in a way that then gives the actor the space and time to do the amount of takes they want to do and really feel like they've exhausted the different possibilities. So you can
That's
say,
great.
we got these kind of clients, we get that kind of those kind of clients. And then the person can decide, you know, oh, that's me.
That's really great. Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So all of that, if you were doing a website, it would be the same thing. Not all good actors are good readers. And the majority of actors undervalue what having a relationship with an excellent reader can give them. There's three big things. Boom, boom, boom. That would be your whole website.
Awesome. That's
You
great.
can listen to this recording back and sort of refine because
You know I
you're,
will.
yeah, and you're good at articulation, like you're the We audition profile that is well written. So I know that you'll be able to kind of put that in your own language. And now you have just this little thing. You preface it, well, you know, not all actors are good readers. And a lot of actors make the mistake of boom, boom, boom. Not. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. I love that. Thank you so much, Christine.
Yeah, and I think that another little thing that you, depending on who you're talking to, you can throw this in or not, is I think actors have a misconception of like even working like regularly auditioning actors, where it's like, well, I ran it with my coach, so I just need to come in and have you put me on tape. And it's like, right, but you still want to have an excellent reader who can make sure that no matter where you're at on that day, energy-wise or whatever's going on, we'll get that take for you that you polished up over there. And it is still another opportunity if you go from an excellent coach to an excellent reader to shape and sharpen one more time. So
Great.
I'd
Yeah.
say that. Because I think, and then what we're doing is we're taking everybody's excuses and sort of pushing them out of the way. But I just studied with my coach. It's like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You worked the material over there. We're not going to work the material for in the same way, but we're putting the polish on it. We're
Yeah.
capturing the lightning in the bottle.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I think I can definitely use that in some way. I will say that, as I move forward with this, and the more I build this business, the coaching aspect of it is something that I am really interested in, and I, in the long run, would like to primarily be, coaching people rather than just doing the reading. So I
Yeah.
do, I think, want to be careful about like comparing myself to like, oh, you might be working with a coach, but you still need me a re you know what I mean? Like I
But
don't
they do.
necessarily they do, but I also do coach. You know what I mean? I guess I don't want to be separating myself from there's coaches and then there's people like me, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, but I do want you to separate the fact that they are two different things
Yeah.
because as you move forward into the realm, you're going to have coaching plus the audition tape, just the audition tape.
Yeah.
You're going to have those three offers.
Okay.
So you want to have it separate. And someone can go, well, what's the difference? If I work just with you as a coach, can I use any reader? And it's like, well, you can. But I also have that eye, and it's just the final layer of sh I like the words you use, the sharpen and the shaping and the sharpening, the sharpen and shape, just another thing. And we might coach on one day, and this is a different day that you're actually putting it on tape. Who knows? So you'll have, so it's not that you're cannibalizing the work of the coach. It's like, no, you need coaching and you need an excellent reader.
But you're saying that those should be, that I should be like charging different rates for those things?
In the future,
Yeah.
yeah, it would be you can have coaching, you can have coaching, and then I put you on tape. Or we could just coach, or I can just put you on tape.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it's
Yeah.
separate. It's those are all separate. I mean, the two
Yeah.
things are separate.
I think I'll have to figure out. Yeah, I think as I continue with this, I'll have to see sort of how that makes sense, just to me on a practical level. 'Cause like at least at this point, I certainly have clients who don't want coaching, and so for them, I just don't. But for those who do, like I haven't quite like teased out the, you know what I mean? Like basically we're just doing it all at once. So that'll be interesting for me to sort of examine. Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you do differently? What is the session time length, and then what you're doing with someone who comes in is like, I don't need coaching, let's just put this on tape.
Yeah, usually those people are certainly faster. And they just don't ask for feedback, so I don't give it. But people the and I have a couple regular clients who are just like that, and that's fine. But my favorite regular clients are the ones I really get to like play with, and I charge the same amount. I basically do, it's like a 15-minute increment, I just every 15 minutes, and we can go for as long as you want, as long as I'm free. Every 15 minutes, we just add that amount. And that's how I do it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah,
Does that
so it
make
ends, well, it ends up that they're paying more anyway.
sense? Because I'm
Because
spending more
they're paying
time.
more
Yeah.
time with you. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So for someone who just comes in and just wants you to run the machine and upload it and whatever, yeah, they're paying this much. And someone who wants the, which is a bigger package, is paying this much. Now, you're charging the same amount for your time. That can change in the future if you want it. Then you bill it kind of differently. You're like, this is this package and this is this package. And if you, this package is for like an hour. And then if you want, if we just go longer, which is totally fine, it's billed in 15 minute increments at this rate on top of the package thing. And then this one is just like, come in and shoot it, and we're done.
Okay. Great. Cool.
So, but that's all. I mean, pricing and packaging, there's
Yeah.
nothing that you can get, and you can ch do it and try it and go, I'm going to change it. And then you change it.
Right, of
That's
course.
what the fun part of having a business, like, I just want to change it and test
Yeah.
this. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, very good.
Well,
Anything
awesome.
else? Is that what you wanted?
I think that's it. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
It was lovely meeting you. You're just
Yeah.
adorable.
Oh, thank you as well.
So that was the only question I have received. So now the floor is open. I'm Christine Aller. I'm the creator, coach of the Creating Cash Flow program. Kate London is also in the group. She is the Ask Kate of the Abundance Bound platform. I never look at the chat while I'm coaching because my brain can't do two things at once, but Kate's usually in the chat. I read it afterwards. So there you know. Karen Eileen.
Hi, I'm in a different
Hi.
location tonight. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. So last year, when we were talking, you said it might be a good exercise to come and bring a job description and talk through applying for the job. So I'm starting that process, and I'm literally starting with things that are up the street because that is very helpful to me that things are close by. So I'm going to submit a resume and an application for Starbucks. So I haven't done a customer service resume in a bazillion years. So I have an extremely rough draft. So I don't know if it's helpful to see it or just for me to ask you questions. I'm not sure how to start this process, but I want to build this muscle. So,
Yeah, so what do they ask you for? Like when you're submitting, do you just submit the resume? Is there a cover letter these days? Like what's going on?
there's like an app on your cell phone and a portal, and what I've seen so far is that they're asking me for a resume. They just want to upload a resume, and they've got an opening at this place that's right near me. I
Okay.
imagine I can go in and drop off a paper version and say hello and all that stuff, but at the moment it's just a resume.
Okay, great. So, is there any verbiage from Starbucks that have described what they're looking for? Have they
I
any
did not know
words?
if I'd be able to talk to you, so I didn't have it pulled up. Let me look. Starbucks. I'll pull it up right
Did you
now.
find this just by a help wanted sign in a window or online?
Here it is. I literally went. The other people in the group may not. This my birthday was last week, and I'm a big celebrator. So, on your birthday, Starbucks will give you whatever you want. Basically, you have to go on the day, but they will give you whatever you want. So, I went in and ordered a ginormous thing that I've never had, and saw the sign that said,
Okay, great.
"We are hiring."
Okay, great.
Okay, Starbucks, here we go. And just kind of who I am, or more corporate with this language and this presentation. I feel like I want to be cute and quirky because I feel like it's probably a sea of corporateness from the rest of the universe, but I'm not sure how to calibrate that yet.
Okay.
Okay, I'm looking. All right. I'm still trying to pull up the right location, but I guess I could. Okay, let's see if we can apply now. Oh, my computer is loading. Loading, loading. Let me see if I can pull up. This is a different one. I don't want to
So
take too
what
much
I'm keep doing what
time.
you're doing, Karen Eileen, I'm just talking
Yeah,
for
tell me.
everybody listening, is that what you want to always investigate is how does the company itself describe what they want? Are there
Yes.
words that are specific, like that give you an idea? Because you can kind of feed those words back to them and or keep them in mind when you're crafting language around it so
I'm
that you're letting them know that you're aware of what they're looking for.
okay. I have the job description.
Okay.
It's pretty big. I could pop
Okay.
it in the chat or I could read you. It's like the top part of it is like four little paragraphs.
Yeah, just read it really fast.
Read it. Okay. Join us and inspire with every cup. At Starbucks, it's all about connection. People are at the heart of who we are, especially the people that are a part of our store team. We connect with each other, our customers, and communities to make a positive impact every day. We believe in working together to make a difference and celebrating our shared success, which is why we call ourselves Starbucks Partners. Starbucks is a place of warmth and belonging where everyone is welcome. We value the unique experience that each partner brings. This is a barista position. I feel like I'm having just weird, 21-year-old flashbacks. So, as a Starbucks barista, you'll create the Starbucks experience for our customers. Through excellent service and expertly crafted products, you'll be in an energetic store environment where you have the ability to master your food and beverage craft, work alongside friends, meet new people every day. Cup of coffee and a smile can go a long way, and we believe our baristas have the power to be the best moment in each customer's day. And then there's like 10 bullet points that say, "You'd make a great barista if you." So you want me to read those? There's, okay. You'd make a great barista if you do yourself a people person and enjoy meeting, love working as a team, and appreciate the chance to collaborate. Understand how to create a great customer service experience. Have a focus on quality, take pride in your work, are open to learning new things, are comfortable with responsibilities like cash and store safety, can keep cool and calm in a fast-paced, energetic work environment, maintain a clean and organized space, and have excellent communication skills.
Okay, great.
Okay. The rest of it is,
So that's good. So here's the thing. When most people write a resume, what they do is they go through their past jobs and they're like, well, in this job, this is what I did. And in this job, this is what I did. It's like, no, no, no. No. You want to say how that past job you had was like, had so many of these shared qualities as what they're looking for in Starbucks, because I can describe the last job you had. I can describe it in a way that would give this texture to it, but I could describe it in a way that would give this texture to it. Like it's all in the description. Just like I could write a bio for myself that sounds fantastic, but I could write a bio that sounds like I'm a hot mess and you should never take my advice ever. It's just putting things in a certain order and telling a different story about it. So you want to tell a story about everything you're putting on your resume that speaks to what they're looking for, which is you love people, you love teamwork, you're a positive, warm person, you're energetic and yet mature to be cool and calm. You have mastered things in the past. You know how to learn something, learn it quickly, and then get better and better at it. That's what mastery is. You're super responsible, you're organized, so you want to show examples that prove those qualities. So like at my last job, I was responsible for, the petty cash at the end of every day. And I did this and this, like, look at how responsible I was. And this is how I was organized. I did this and this and this. So, and not every job has to have all the qualities, but after I read over your resume, the feeling overall that I should get from it is like, oh my God, she'd make a great barista. She just is like super responsible and organized and loves learning and has mastered other things. And she's mature, but fun and warm and loves people. Yeah. So then the challenge is just like, okay, how do we talk about our past jobs and highlight those qualities? And how do we plan for the interview if there's gaps in our employment history addressing those? Which it doesn't have to be like a whole PowerPoint presentation. It's just like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. You just have to have like an answer for that question. So let me ask you, what legitimately, I'm not being facetious. I'm saying legitimately, what parts of this job sound fun for you? Because I can see you doing this.
I can see me doing this, which is such a bizarre thing to be able to say, but it's thanks to this group that my brain even opened up to it. Rather than like, well, I need to be seeking the 100K a year job or I'm a failure. I have kicked that to the curb. It's up the street. So for me, proximity is going to just make my life so much easier. If I had to, I could walk or ride a bike. You know what I mean? It's really close. I love one of my favorite jobs in college, shockingly, which I've been thinking about lately, was I was a pizza and milkshake maker at the student grill, basically. And people would come when they knew I had my shift because I was good. I was very good. So I like making food for people that's delicious and having them be happy to have delicious food. That's always lovely. They have benefits, which is a really nice thing to think of because I know we've talked about this before. Like currently, I'm basically, when I'm not on SAG-AFTRA insurance, I'm on Obamacare, basically, like the in between. So when I start to make enough money, the Obamacare goes away. So I need to transition to something with some benefits. So I like that. I think it would be social and fun. I'm going to be out of the house and meeting some people that I might not otherwise meet. The pay, I mean, this pay range is pretty darn low, right? It is in terms of what you can make, but there's other benefits that I think would make up for that, at least for the moment. I mean, I know I hear you talk a lot about, when they, if I tell them I'm an actor, which I have a question about that. Like, I want to be honest, I think, all the time with that. So if they're like, well, you book something, you're going to abandon us. Like there's some verbiage that you have about like, I can't guarantee I'm not going to leave you for Steven Spielberg. However, I will leave this store much better than I found it. And leave the team better than I found it and leave the energy in the place. Right. Something like that. I'm not quite getting it correctly, but something like that. So I just want to, and I want to ask you about dates because I literally have not been employed anywhere for a really long time, and I need to like celebrate that first of all.
That's because you've been self-employed. You haven't been sitting
That
on a couch.
no, I mean no,
Self-employed for
I'm not
years.
I'm not dissing myself. I'm saying
No, I
I'm
know, but
celebrating. Yeah. Go ahead.
no, I'm just saying that's what you've been doing. That's been your
Yes.
job.
That has been my job and will continue to be my job. I mean, I'm not closing down my company. I'm not doing any of that. But like the year, like I don't want to put years on my resume. Is that a thing now? Do people have to put the years?
It's
Yes,
kind of
Kate is
traditional.
nodding.
Yeah, it's like a traditional sort of so they can know like if someone's worked 12 different places for like 6 months each, that's a weird red flag.
Okay.
But you are a self-employed voiceover coach
Yeah.
and you're a voiceover and you're an actor and voiceover artist.
Correct.
And you have been doing both of those things for years,
A really long time,
a
yeah.
really long time.
Yeah.
It's like this. The story is, I'm self-employed and have been working from home for a long time, which has been great, especially during the pandemic. I coach and I work as a voiceover artist, but I need to get out of the house.
So
I love,
it's okay to say that, right?
yes, I love being with people. I want a different kind of stimulation. And this sounds like fun. I love making people happy. It's really close to where I live. And I would just love the opportunity to just be in such a great environment for, several hours out of my week. Who doesn't want someone who's like, I just want to be here because it sounds great. I don't like desperately need the job to pay my. It's like, no, I do this and I do it from home. And that's what I've been doing for years. And I just, now I need something to get out of the house.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that makes me happy because I was like, oh, that's probably a really cringy thing to say to a potential employer. Okay, good.
And are they looking for like a full-time barista?
I didn't ask that, and I don't remember what the job description said. I don't
Right.
think so. I think they're looking
I'd
for
be kind of
full-time.
surprised if they were, but even if they were, you can say, well, the great thing about my business is I'm so established. I can do it whenever. I can do it weekends. I can do nights. My clients just follow me around, whatever my schedule is. So, yeah, I am interested in full-time employment. So you can say it that way. Or if they're like, well, this is a part-time position, you're like, perfect.
Okay,
I can
awesome.
rearrange my schedule. I just need to get out of my house and be with people.
That is very true. I am telling
Yeah.
them the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely telling them the truth.
Yeah.
What's more important, though, is that it is a truth that is in alignment with your actual situation. It's like, yeah, it would
Yes.
be great for you to get out of the house. You will
Yes.
make friends, you'll meet people in the town. Like, all of this is so good. And if you can come in with just this verve of, like, I want this.
Yeah.
But just for me,
Yes, for sure. That's what this
Starbucks will be good to me, and I know I will be good to Starbucks.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So like I'm nervous. So like what is this our this is our last one. When is our next cash flow? May.
Next week.
Oh, is it really? Oh, so maybe what I will plan on doing is like I'll go away and make the resume and then I'll bring it back here and chew on it with you before I actually submit it.
That's a really good idea.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Well,
No?
you know what?
What?
Like, I don't think you need to wait on this. It's
Oh,
just
okay.
Starbucks. It's just Starbucks.
Okay. It's not Warren Buffett. I can
Like, Kate, they're going to fill that position pretty quickly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I wouldn't hesitate. I just wanted to say I'm a Starbucks regular. There's one right around the corner.
Nice.
And the thing is, you go in there and everybody's happy to see you. They
Yes.
remember my name and my order. It's
Yeah.
been years, but it's like it's a party in there. Like you're the
Yeah.
host. So sometimes it's really busy and it's like party, party, party. And sometimes it's kind of mellow and it's like, hey, come on in, sit
Yeah.
down. But it's always there's a hosting element to it,
Oh,
even
that's
when you're
interesting.
making the drinks. Or whether it's your cash register or heating up the banana bread or whatever, you're hosting, and I just think you're great at that. So,
Oh, thank
you already have, and you've got some kitchen skills. Like that
you. I
college job
do.
is like,
Yeah,
boom,
I
you
do.
just need to learn to make a few, mess
Thank
with the espresso.
you.
You're going to be great at this. It's
Okay.
really, it's a friendly, they need you to show up on time, be friendly, and make a good, espresso. You can,
I can
and be charming, which you
do all of that, I think.
automatically are. Yes.
Thank you. Do I is it common? I want to make sure, so I'm gonna submit this like may probably tomorrow. So is it common in resumes now to have there used to be this little tiny paragraph like under your name and your info that said my goal is or my mission is?
No, here's what I no, forget that.
No,
Here's
forget
what I
that.
want. You just have your contact and don't put your address. Just phone, email.
Okay.
That, and then your jobs with those little like bullety pointed paragraphs of like, hey, I do all
This
this
is what I
and
did.
it was relevant to Starbucks. It's
Got
not
it.
about describing the job you had. It's about describing the parts of the job that you have that's relevant to what Starbucks is looking
Totally
for.
got it. Okay.
I want you to do that. You're welcome to post it in the group. I will put eyes on it.
Okay.
And you can get other people's opinion. Applying for
Okay.
barista, how does this resume sound?
Okay.
And then in pink marker, glitter pen if you have it, or just a colored pen.
Okay.
I want you to write, handwrite on your resume. Starbucks will be really great for me. I will be really great for Starbucks.
Oh.
Okay. And then I want you to go in there and be like, hey, I saw the sign. I want to apply. I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Put in a good word for me. I want you to say that to the barista, like, want this job because I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm like self-employed, but I would love to have a job and get out of the house. So put in a good word for me. And then,
Oh my gosh. Okay.
so those three things: prep the resume, stick it up tomorrow,
Okay.
write that legibly, and then say that, help me get out of the house.
Oh my God,
I want
that's
this
really
job.
cute. Okay.
And then when you put in the resume, buy something.
Okay. Oh, yes. Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Thank you very much. Yes,
Kate,
mistake.
just real quick, often on the online portals when you're submitting that way,
Yes.
there'll be a place to, do a cover letter or something. You
Okay.
might want to be prepared just with a little paragraph,
Sure.
and you might open it with the way Christine suggested writing on
Oh,
that,
that's
and then maybe
nice.
one or two more sentences.
Okay.
It's just, they may not have that, but a lot of them do. So I just wanted you to not freak out about it.
No, thank you. I'm gonna actually write it down as soon as I can find a pen. Okay, yeah. Okay. We're launching something here, so here we
That's
go.
right.
That's
I
good.
love this. It's a big shift in energy, and that's what's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and so I'm being very kind to myself about the fact that it's Starbucks. I don't know why I was like a little judgy. I'm like, oh, it's Starbucks. Well, it's like, yeah, whatever. I think it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
The mantra, not for you, for everyone in 2025 is a job is a job. Job is a job.
Okay. I
Job
like
is a
it.
job.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Good questions. Helen Highfield.
Hello.
Hello.
A job is a job.
Okay.
I am here to ask about when your thoughts in general on trade, when it's like, I will do my services for this instead of for money. Because the setup is that I am redesigning my gym. And initially, it's a couple that owns it, and they're my dear friends. And the first person came to me and said, maybe it's like a trade and for your membership or something. And I kind of started thinking about how much work it was going to be and all of that, and how much I would charge and what I've been charging, and then was kind of preemptively deciding how many months I would want free membership. And then I had the meeting with her husband, who's a little bit more the money guy. And as we were talking, he's wonderful, but I was able to be like, hey, look, scope creep. It's happening in real time. I thought we were talking about this. I'm just like, let's notice that we are also talking about all of these other areas. And he was like, oh, yeah, wow. So we had a really wonderful meeting. And we talked about money a little bit. And he had said, he was asking about my rates, and I told him my rates, but then I said, but also Bren brought up that maybe it's a trade situation. So if it's that, I would need this many months for this area. It would probably be more for other areas as we kind of, as the
That's right.
scope changes. And then later on, he kind of jokingly was like, well, I mean, I also could pay you. Like, do you like cash? And I was like, I do. Yes, I like money. What? And I was in that little bit of the conversation realizing that I'm probably with the trade. I think I'm probably falling backwards into some under-earner mentality, which is a little bit devaluing my time, my work. And ultimately, even though I was asking for several months just for one part of the gym, they would be getting a deal. And so I can't quite get a read on it. I suspect there's like some element of he's being a sweet friend and being like, no, I'm gonna pay you. But he kind of went into a whole thing of like, no, I've got a loan for this and I can pay you out of that.
Great.
So I guess so I'm trying to hold myself accountable to not falling into under earner and undervaluing my stuff with the trade. And I can see how it's obviously just kind of cleaner for everybody's books if it's money, because then I'm paying them, they pay me, that's how it works. But I think to maybe fully shake off this trade idea, I would love to hear your thoughts on like when, if ever, that is acceptable or like the benefits.
There's a chapter in it's a page long, I believe, in Creating Cash Flow, the text where I talk about my philosophy. So my philosophy is you have to only barter with someone who is equal to you in terms of whatever they're giving you is like as high a quality as what you're giving them.
Right.
Okay. Secondly, you have to actually want what you're bartering for. If oftentimes people approach you and like, hey, I can teach you how to do this thing if you want to barter. It's like, but I didn't really actually want to learn how to knit, but I guess if that's your thing, like, no, did you want to learn how to knit? No. Like, and you can barter for something that you could then give to somebody else. Like your mom wants to learn how to knit. So they teach your mom how to knit and you do the thing. But it has to be something that you absolutely want, or else you are going to resent. The thing about bartering is it's so easy for it to fall into resentment for either party. And then I also recommend that people barter on time, not money, meaning, I'll give you 3 hours for my thing, and you give me 3 hours of your thing. Because I was in a barter situation once where my hourly rate was like here and her hourly rate was here. And so she'd like give me 1 hour and I had to work 10 hours because we were doing it on money. And that taught me never to do that because I was so resentful by the end of it. Yeah, that's how I learned that lesson. So something like this, though, I think. Unless you were like, oh my God, I could never afford this gym by any other means unless I did this. And it's so valuable to me that I will be so excited to be doing the work. Like, and I also think it's kind of weird because then you're bartering on money. Let's just say I'm doing this thing designer wise for $300 and the gym membership is $100 a month. That means I get 3 months
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
equal.
And
And it's like,
when I said the number of months, I was like, I basically was like, I would need like 4 months. And I was like, but it wouldn't take 4 months for that to happen. So maybe that's where that gets tricky.
yeah, I mean, it's just bartering on money because you're doing all of this, the work. He's not doing any work to let you be in his gym. I would ask for a year because it's what is it to them? The lights are still going to be on whether you're there or not. You know what I mean? So it's like, what would be really valuable to you? See, you're doing tit for tat, like, well, it's 4 months worth of like, just ask for a fucking year's worth of membership at the gym if that would really be because he, that doesn't cost him anything.
And I
So I would have him pay you and then you can buy gym membership.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason I suggest having him pay you is because I think the muscle you need to build is
Is
I
not
am
getting
receiving
paid.
money for what I'm doing. I'm proud to hear you recognize the scope creep and that you verbally was like, Hey, look what's happening. Like, that's a huge, huge milestone. So exciting. So, yeah. So, I think the next thing to work on, and you don't have far to go, is just like, this is how much it is, and this is how much you give me in cash money. Yeah. And you pay me at least half upfront.
Yeah, I need to start
You're
doing
not,
that. Wait,
yes.
there's, yeah.
Yes. Because every hour you spend chasing
Money.
this money that's owed to you, you're lowering the amount you got per hour because you're adding on more
Totally.
time for that's time on that job. Yeah. That's why I was blown away when I got into organizing, and these organizers were like the like de rigueur. They would go out to the house. They'd make a house call to give a walkthrough estimate. And they would do that, but then that not even that, I mean, that's bad enough. But what they were doing, a majority would go out to a house, do the thing, go home, type up the little thing, send it, and then they would go, like if they got hired, then they'd go do the work for the day. Then they'd go home and type up the little invoice and sit because they thought they were doing business because they were like organized people and they thought this. And I was like, I remember joining the National Association Los Angeles chapter, and I was just walking. I'm like, well, that sounds horrible. That's not how I do it at all. I talk to them on the phone, and then I show up the first day and be like, I don't know how much it's going to cost until we start working together, and I see your speed, and then you have to pay me a check before I leave. Like, I'm not typing anything at home because that means it's more work for me. And I got a few people to just change the way they were doing it because that was insane.
Yeah,
So much
truly.
work. Yeah.
Truly. Okay.
Yeah. Good
Okay.
questions. Love it, love it,
Thanks.
love it. Who else? We have time. We are here. How can I help you earn money? Not just earn, but exponentially receive. Are we good? Okay. Are we complete for the day? That's okay, Helen. Oh, you're just thumbs up on the complete part? Okay.
Just showing my face so you're not
All right.
expensive, icons. That's all.
Good. Okay, guys. Going once. Going twice. Well, thank you all for showing up. All right. So our schedule is a bit wonky because of the holidays in April. So we're actually meeting again next week, May 4th. Then we're back to our regular, the first and the third Sundays of the month. So I'll see you next week. All right. Take good care.
Thank you, Christine, Kate.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.